Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. I'm going to start by putting into context where today's gospel story lies. 2 weeks ago, we heard about the disciples and Jesus traveling into Jerusalem. Jesus entered the city amid shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But only days later, he was sent out amid shouts of Crucify him. This was not how they expected their visit to go. That Friday appeared to be an ultimate failure. Jesus tortured, humiliated, and eventually killed like any other common criminal. But we know that that wasn't the end. And we know it wasn't an ultimate failure. It was the ultimate victory. We heard of that victory in last week's reading from Matthew. That on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to properly care for Jesus' body. But it was no longer there. John's account, that comes a little before today's lesson, is slightly different. It certainly includes Mary Magdalene going to the tomb, but also includes Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved running there shortly after as well to witness the empty tomb. So today's gospel reading picks up the story of what happened a little later in that day. On the very first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and others have witnessed to the disciples about Jesus' resurrection, something that should have been an occasion for great celebration. And yet, the disciples are hiding together for fear of their lives. But we need to remember, if they are discovered as Jesus' disciples, they will likely share in the same fate as their beloved teacher and friend. So this is where we find the disciples on that first Easter evening, not enjoying a huge Easter feast with friends and family, with lilies and other flowers scenting the air, and children enjoying colorful eggs and goodies from their Easter baskets, but hiding and fearful and alone. In years past, I have tried to imagine what it must have been like for the disciples to be hiding away that night. I remember bomb drills we had in school when I was a child. My own children have active shooter drills where they lock all of the classroom doors and hide where they can't be seen. One of my sons was even in a complete lockdown for hours that was not a drill, fearing that there was a person on campus or coming to campus with weapons. And there are some of you listening or watching who have experienced war in this country or others and spent time sheltered or locked away for safety. Or maybe you have heard stories from parents or grandparents, aunts or uncles who lived through the wars of the 20th century and spent time in bomb shelters during air raids. But for me, it is this year that I get a deeper sense of what the disciples were feeling. Sheltering in a home with only their closest companions, trying to figure out what to do next, worried about the future, and mourning the loss of a loved one. As we shelter in our homes, trying to stay away from a threat that we cannot even see, with only those who are closest to us, it could be easy to lose hope. We are now going on about the fourth week of sheltering in place, only leaving our homes for necessities. And I know that many, myself included, are getting weary. Many are feeling anxious, and many are lonely. Too many right now are mourning the loss of loved ones, either to the virus or to something else, but because of the virus cannot mourn as they normally would. I imagine that the disciples were facing similar struggles and emotions. But the amazing beauty of Easter is that even when we fear, when we feel isolated, when we lose hope, and even when we have doubts about God, Jesus is still in our midst saying, "Peace be with you," and reminding us that God is right there. As Christians, we recognize that God becoming a human being in Jesus means that God has taken in our earthly pains, sorrows, and suffering. For me, one of the most powerful phrases in the entire Bible is when Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me?" To be the Savior of the world, Jesus had to suffer the penalty of our sins, even though he himself was blameless. And that penalty was complete death, not a nap, not a half-death, but a full and complete death in our place, being forsaken. So when Jesus says to disciples, and indeed says to each one of us, "Peace be with you," it is from a place of knowing profoundly how much that peace is needed. Last week, Pastor Deborah spoke about the angel with the attitude, the angel that met the two Marys when they arrived at the tomb. There was an earthquake. There was trembling. There was urgency to go out and tell the news that the tomb is empty. The astounding news that Jesus conquered death. Wow. For many of us, we have heard the stories and recited the creed so often that it is easy to take for granted what a truly remarkable triumph this is. It is equally easy to lose sight of what a preposterous idea or story this may have been for people of Jesus' time. Think about that proclamation for a minute. Death has been conquered. The end is no longer the end. Jesus' sacrifice has transformed death into life. And again, wow. The angel with the attitude told the Marys and tells us to go out, tell the story, share that news. Don't wait. Let God and the angels roll away whatever boulders keep us from seeing that wonderful gift. But then there's this amazing juxtaposition between Matthew's account of the two Marys visiting the tomb and John's account of Jesus visiting the disciples. Jesus doesn't whoosh in the house in a great storm or with an earthquake or even with banging on the door. Jesus very gently and quietly enters their space, into their center, and says, "Peace be with you." The urgency and powerful energy of the angel is tempered with the calm and powerful peacefulness of Jesus. This peacefulness is more than the absence of war or disharmony or anything else that we might think is the opposite of peace. From our side, living in peace is about seeking unity and harmony with our God, with our neighbors, with ourselves, and yes, even with those we find hard to love. From God's side, peace is God coming into our centers and opening a channel of connection and deep love. And remember, my friends, Jesus does not bid us peace once. Jesus comes back again and again, especially in those times where we doubt or lose hope, showing us his wounds, saying again and again, "Peace be with you. I am with you. I love you." In the hymn before the sermon, we sang in the very last verse, "When our hearts are wintry, grieving, or in pain, Jesus' touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again like wheat arising green." This hymn so beautifully reminds us that even when we are in a sense dead because we have closed our hearts as we shelter from the hurts and pains of this world, Jesus has conquered that death as well. Jesus, the complete manifestation of deep love, has the power to touch our hearts and open them back to life, to open us back to life. It is human to doubt. This is one reason we hear this story of Thomas every year, the second Sunday of Easter. It is human to fear, another reason for us to hear this story every year. It is human to want to retreat and hide when we are afraid and sad. But today's gospel and this lovely hymn remind us that in the center of all of this humanness is Jesus, touching our hearts and calling us out of the doubt and fear and hiding. As the hymn writer says, Jesus calls us back to life again. So how do we respond to being called back to life? We are told to share the good news of the resurrection. Sharing the good news isn't only about evangelism or preaching or Bible study. It can be as simple as being kind and recognizing the beauty in all of God's people and in God's creation, and letting God's people know that they are loved. Right now, it means staying in our homes and helping to slow down the spread of the virus. Right now, it means loving our neighbors enough to stay away physically, but reach out virtually. Right now, it means recognizing Jesus in our midst, saying, "Peace be with you," and trusting those words so that we can continue to be alive in Christ each day. As we shelter in our homes, some of us fear for the lives of loved ones, or maybe even fear for our own lives. Let us pray and meditate on the peace of God. Let us open our hearts to those same words that Jesus shared with his frightened disciples 2,000 years ago. Peace be with you. They are as powerful now as they were then. There will be days when we feel at peace with Christ, and there will be days when we are distracted or fearful or doubtful. But trust that Jesus is there reminding us of his peace, a gentle, loving, calm message actively seeking out our hearts for connection. This is the peace that can bring hope in times of hopelessness, faith in times of doubt, strength in the face of fear, and most of all, love in the midst of everything. The peace of Christ is with you. May you always be able to embrace it. Amen.